The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world. The people have preferred the darkness to the light, since their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
This particular gospel is, you know, well, probably one of the most famous. You know, sometimes all you got to do is see a bumper sticker that says John 3:16. You know, I mean, it's a very, you know, well quoted, memorized verse. Of course, you may notice, of course, that most people only memorize the first part of it. they kind of skip over the second part. And meant to be seen as a whole. The Lord is certainly talking about God's love for the world, God's wish to save the world, God's well pleasure in having everyone come to him and be saved. But the text also does remind us that there is a now that Jesus has risen from the dead and stands before us alive. There is an absolute decision to be made, and that decision is about our destiny. It's not just whether you're going to have vanilla or chocolate ice cream. This is about where you're going to spend eternity, and whether or not you choose to believe in the Son of God or not. Now, let's talk about believe for a minute. A lot of people today kind of think of believe, or the word believe or faith, and I would say something of a cursory or it isn't a very deep understanding of the word believe. And usually what people mean by believe is, well, I accept that Jesus existed 2,000 years ago. I think he's Savior, he's Lord, and okay, what's on TV tonight? I mean, in other words, it's more of an intellectual acceptance of some proposition, namely that Jesus is... I'm in favor of Jesus, or something like that. You know, it's kind of vague. Whereas real faith, of course, involves following through on all the implications of that decision. Now, just a simple little example. Let's say that you give me instructions to your house. I say, here's how to get to my house, and I'll see you over there for dinner, or something like that. And I say, you know, well, look, I really think that you know how to get to your house, that you're smart, and I'll follow you. I believe that you these directions you've given me are good. And then I just don't follow them. Now, lip service, talking about how I believe in your capacity to give me good directions, is all well and good. But in the end, what it comes down to is whether or not I follow the directions, you see. Simply saying, Jesus, you're a great guy, I think you're kind of a smart guy, and you know, you sort of know what you're, and Jesus, you're great, but then we don't follow the directions, it isn't real. You can see that's not real faith, it's just sort of lip service of faith. I'm in favor of you, Jesus, I think you said and you did good things, and by gosh, Jesus, I'm on your side. And then you fail to really follow through and stay and play on the winning team, so to speak. Again, notice, therefore, faith is not simply a question of answering an altar call or saying, I'm in favor of Jesus. It's about living an entire life that's rooted in, if you will, the you know, the situation where we actually follow through on all the implications of that. If Jesus is the Son of God and he knows how to get us to heaven, then we'd be a fool not to follow the directions, you see. So that's the idea of faith. Now, it says here, whoever believes, therefore, will not be condemned. Okay. But whoever does not believe is already condemned. Now, what's difficult about understanding this phrase is that it's almost like a predestination, isn't it? It's kind of like once you've decided, I'm not for Jesus and I'm going to do my own thing. I don't like being told what to do. I'm not going to any stupid church and I'm going to go ahead and stay shacked up with my girlfriend and whatever, you know. Once you decide that you're going to be, you know, live this way, you know, it says you're already condemned. Now, but we all know that people can and do change. See, so the text seems so absolute. It's like, you know, you make a decision at point A, and then you'll never change now. You see, you're locked in, you're condemned. All I can say to you is that there's a kind of a sobriety that biblical texts had about human decisions that we don't often have today. The biblical texts tend to talk in these absolutes. Let me try to explain. What happens is that we make a decision, and that tends to send us down a path. And that decision tends to build over time. So the further and further down this path this guy goes to, I don't like being told what to do. No one's going to tell me what to do. I will decide what I want to do, and I will decide whether it's right and wrong. I think all this Jesus stuff is myth, and I don't like these white-haired men of the Vatican trying to tell me how to run my life, and so on. So the further and further you go down that path, the less likely it is that you're going to come back from that path, is the vision. Now, do people sometimes make U-turns? And yes. But the point is that it's probably a little rarer than we think. Attitudes tend to build over time. We become hardened and fast in our decisions, and it becomes less and less likely. And so Jesus goes on to describe here a verdict. This is the verdict, that the light has come into the world, but people have preferred the darkness to the light because their works were evil. Now, I preached a sermon on this on Sunday a number of weeks ago. I'm not going to repeat it all here. But again, the idea of preferring the darkness to the light is we all know how we get adjusted to different light levels, right? I don't want to repeat it all, but look, you go to bed and you turn out the light, and you get up early in the morning and it's still dark, and you put on the lights and you squint and you complain. It's the same light that you were happy about, you know, a few hours before you went to bed. See, we get accustomed to the darkness, and the light now starts to seem harsh, and we complain about it. The light is not harsh. You see what I'm saying? It's not the light. It's us. And what happens, though, is the further and further down a path a person goes and they get accustomed to the darkness, anyone who says to them, hey, have you ever thought about maybe what you're doing is wrong? How dare you? You're intolerant. You're a mean person. You're all the kind of stuff that the world does. It's kind of screaming at a light that's just been turned on. They're like, turn that thing off. See? And there ought to be a law against you. You're not supposed to pray in the public square. You're not supposed to suggest that there's anything wrong with my behavior. How dare you be against homosexual marriage? You're a bigot. In fact, you've just committed a hate crime, and we should put you in prison. See, more and more the protests against us become extremely strident, because the further and further down the path the world wants to go into the darkness, the more the light is just obnoxious to them. It really makes them really angry. And very, very obnoxious. And so, I'm not saying we on our side are never obnoxious, but I mean, you know, I'm just saying there is this increasingly strident hatred on the part of some, and an increasing number of those some in the world, who like to ridicule us, mock us, hate us, and it's really open season on the Christian, faith. So again, the idea of preferring the darkness, you know, the further and further down a path you get, the less likely it is that you're going to like things on the other path. Now, I've just tried to say there's a sobriety in biblical text about this reality. Okay, so now if that's true though about bad choices, I want to try to end on a positive note. How much more so is it also good about positive choices? The more we become accustomed to the light, the more we. And again, at first the light might be difficult to take, but the more, like right now, I've been up for an hour or so, and I mean, it's much. I'm very happy about the light. Not when I first came down here this morning and turned it on. You know, it's a, you know, right now I'm very happy about it. So it's again, it takes a little time to get adjusted, but once we do, we're okay, and we begin to then see everything by that light, and we begin to function, and we begin, instead of squinting and bumping into stuff, and we now function well, and again, so it's the same thing is true then for us who go down a path of light. The more we do the truth, the more the truth makes sense to us. The more we're excited about God's plan. We see how it all fits together. We start to connect the dots, and God's vision makes more and more sense to us, you see. Now, after 20 years of preaching the gospel, I'm much more on board, and I have much more of a clue today than I did when I first started this task. So again, I've been defending and dealing with the truth for many years now, and it makes sense to me. I've heard more. I've heard just about all the objections, and I have answers. So you see, the idea is that we have this tendency to grow in good things as well as going in bad things. So in the end, it says, "Whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may clearly be seen as done in God." And so more and more we're happy and accustomed to be in God's light and God's truth. We're used to it. It doesn't seem harsh or demanding. It seems now very possible. And even if we don't live it perfectly, we see that more and more we're able to live it. And this is a beautiful vision. So again, this is a gospel then about a judgment to make. And it may seem like, you know, you're locked in, there's no other. We all know there are U-turns possible, but just be aware, have a sobriety. The more you go down a bad path, the less likely you're going to make it back out of that path. And the more you go down a good path, the more firm your decision becomes, and the more certain it becomes of your ultimate destiny. So again, we know where we need to walk, and stay in that path. Amen.